Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning of Novo Resources. Welcome, Dr. Henning. Thanks for joining me again.
Thank you, Jay.
You know, I'd like to start out by asking you a little bit about your comment well on Purdy's reward discoveries, because that's where all of the action was in 2017 that drove your share price up to as high as around $8.50 in Canadian money. So perhaps we can start out there. I'd like to find out what you're doing there, if you what your exploration plans are there, since that's where all the excitement started out a couple of years ago.
Certainly, Jay. As you see today, we issued a news release talking about our mineralization report. We have completed that. I had to pass it under, you know, several people's nose to review over the past week or two. But it's finalized now, and it most importantly explains where we can take some large-scale bulk samples and kind of the next steps forward. So I would advise people to read the news release. But in short, here's what we're looking at. The project at Comet Well and Purdy's reward, very nuggety gold, as everyone knows. But we've tackled this before at Beaton's Creek, you know, about 300 kilometers east of Carotham. We tackled a similar project, not quite as nuggety, but, you know, it was nuggety. It was a challenge for us initially, but we overcame it. And we recently announced a significant resource upgrade, as well as achieving, application for mining at Beaton's Creek. It's been approved. It's actually ready for mining. And our mining lease has been approved as well. So these are kind of seminal steps for us. Carrarthur, we see a similar path now to what we undertook at Beaton's Creek. We do anticipate doing a large-scale bulk sampling program similar to the one we did at Beaton's Creek a couple of years back. We can see that as providing the technical input that we need to really understand the deposit, understand grades, understand processing techniques, so forth. But it also could help us potentially lead to putting a resource to Carrarthur, which is very important here. So, mm-hmm. We see a similar path. We've done it before. We're ready to go to the hard yards, and we're very excited. We also have some work going on right now, some mapping that extends the strike of the conglomerates at Purdy's Reward and Comet Well. Mm-hmm. We've also found some mineralization and fairly high-grade mineralization in the basement. So the picture is morphing, but it's growing, and we anticipate quite a bit of progress this year. You know, don't forget ore sorting. Ore sorting will be a very important component of the work going forward. We see that as a critical technique that will be of value.
That's very exciting, actually. The ore sorting could just be dramatically. It could dramatically improve the economics, I should think, there, especially not so much at Beaton's Creek. It's more to do with the larger nuggeting effect up at Comet Well and Purdy's Reward, right?
That's correct. You know, we did our test work late last year and had some news releases early this year that talk about the success of that ore sorting technique. And it's just astonishing, you know, to see a machine that can actually pick gold particles or pick rocks with gold particles embedded in them out from, a huge amount of waste material. So, you know, we see a great deal of promise. I'd advise people to read the news release because that we issued today, because it talks about the potential benefits we could see from ore sorting and how we could implement grade control at Comet Well and Purdy's Reward as well. You know, this is a challenging deposit. How do you define the boundaries of it? Well, if you're putting rock through on a continual basis, you can actually use the computer that's driving the ore sorting process to help you quantify grades, mm-hmm. almost instantaneously. It's kind of a instant feedback type approach, but quite frankly, I don't know of any other deposit, at least gold deposit, that uses a similar approach. They might do it with diamonds, I don't know, but this is very innovative.
Very innovative. I mean, it just stands to reason if a really large, and I don't remember what the sort of percentages were, but the vast quantity of rock was barren, did not have gold in it, but was able to take out a very small percentage of that mass that had gold. And so if you could leave the barren rock behind and just, you know, concentrate the high grade, wow, what an improvement, what a cost reducer that would be. Well, yeah, I know that, go ahead.
I see. That's right. That's correct.
Yeah, you know, you cut your teeth then at Beaton's Creek. And you learned an awful lot about conglomerate gold and how it was, in a way, it was really quite good because it wasn't nearly as nuggety, but quite nuggety at Beaton's Creek. And that really helped prepare you for an even more nuggety project, over there at, Comet Well and Purdy's Reward. So so what might we expect from those two projects? What kind of news might we expect then going forward over the next several months from Beaton's Creek and, Karratha?
Sure. At Karratha, what we expect is final plans for bulk sampling, large-scale bulk sampling. The reference that's made in today's news release gives people a sense of what scale we're looking at. You know, it's on the order of 100,000 tons. We do have sample sites identified from the mineralization report. And by the way, the mineralization report is not a 43-101 compliant report. We cannot publish that, but we are updating the 43-101 report for Karratha, based on the information that's in the mineralization report, and that'll be issued in the not-too-distant future. But it'll show the five recommended areas for bulk sampling at Karratha. We'll figure out. Right now, believe it or not, it looks like the best way to proceed there is not necessarily go the mining lease application route first. I think we can pull this off by working with Demers in Western Australia, see if we can achieve the bulk sampling through another avenue. So that's very positive. We also have to you know, do a little bit of additional work on the ore sorting to get kind of an optimal scenario for ore sorting worked out. What we're doing there is we're looking at how to treat the finer grain material, you know, that when they crush it, there's a fraction of material that's, say, less than 6 or 8 millimeters in that size range that we're looking at how to treat that material. Mm-hmm. And we have made some headway there. And then at Beaton's Creek, like I said earlier, we've got now our mining application's been fully approved. So it's ready. It's basically dressed up and ready for the dance. We're doing this option study at the moment. We're looking at various scenarios about how to treat Beaton's Creek. And quite frankly, you know, the resource that we announced is nearly twice the size of the resource back in 2015, say, that we announced then. And, it, you know, we see that as a seminal step to building something that's larger scale, more sustainable, you know, over the long term. It's, sure, you know, more of a conventional project, we'll call it. So we're very excited about the advancements we've made there.
Yeah, and I think you still have some exploration potential there at Beaton's Creek.
Correct, yes.
Right. All right, though, I'd like to ask you about Egina, because you haven't said anything yet about Egina, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that might be the target, the one of those three projects that might have the most immediate gratification in terms of maybe cash flow. I don't know. You're going to do some bulk sampling there?
That's correct. Look, we put out a news release updating activities at Egina about a week ago. Like you said, it's low-hanging fruit. I mean, this is an interesting project. It's basically a gravel horizon that sits right at the surface. We've now done some work that indicates it's a fairly flat, continuous sheet of gravel. It's gold-bearing. We hope it's gold-bearing consistently throughout, or at least to a degree that one can mine it. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're doing that work this year. We're preparing. We're doing ground-penetrating radar. We're doing some mapping. We're doing some other, like, auger drilling and things like this to really get to the nitty-gritty about the thickness of the horizon, and then we'll do the bulk sampling in a few weeks and process those samples on a routine basis. And this is free-dig material. It sits right at surface. We're tackling an area that's already actually been disturbed there at the edge of the mining lease. This was an area that the gentleman who owned the property before us did some metal detecting not too long ago. So we have access to a pretty big swath within the existing mining lease. Really what we want to get out of this exercise is establish all the protocols for defining a resource on this nuggety gold, but also, you know, get some sense of how we can mine it and that too. It's an interesting project because it's really exploration combined with an element of, you know, bulk sampling that could ultimately lead to ideas about how we could process it on a commercial basis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a gravity recovery, a very coarse gold. If people want to get a sense of the gold that we're dealing with, I'd advise them to look back at the news release from December of last year where we talk about the grade from the initial bulk sample. You can see the photographs of the gold that was recovered. It's a very coarse grain stuff. You know, these are nuggets on the order of 2 millimeters or greater, at least the bulk of the gold is, very easy to recover. Okay, so it's just got everything working for it in terms of geology. Now, we are on the Aboriginal Reserve in that area. This reserve extends over the edge of the mining lease, but the mining lease, as most people know, we've got that carved out. That's ours. It's a long-term lease with the government. We've got all the exploration ground around it tied up. But we are working with the Aboriginals on how to advance the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is really critical because this target isn't just a one little corner. You know, it's not just a postage stamp. Mm-hmm. This thing covers literally, you know, potentially hundreds of square kilometers. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are we're actively engaged with the Aboriginal Corporation in that area. And, you know, there's been some movement on that front, which is very interesting. We've got, you know, a sense of what, where they're at. You know, we've gotten to know them fairly well, what needs they have. We also, you know, they changed a law firm recently, which, the law firm that they've engaged with is one that we've had some dealings with in the past. So we see that as a positive sign. There's a lot of things working for us there. We do see making headway over the next few weeks or even few months on that front and being able to expand out from the mining lease onto the exploration ground around us. You know, and that's critical. If we show the world that this sheet of gravel contains gold over a broad area, mm-hmm. I think it will really open up people's eyes and they'll realize how important this asset is.
So how soon do you think we might start getting a picture of the consistency or lack thereof of gold mineralization in this deposit? Sure, I mean, will we know a lot more in the next few months?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, fortunately, this is a relatively easy deposit to work with, free dig. So we're going to start digging samples on the order of 100 tons each. These are bulk samples. We'll do it on a gridded basis. In other words, we'll have a kind of a systematic approach, and we can process those samples. Most importantly, we can process them through our little IGR 3000 plant that's at Station Peak. So we'll be trucking the samples back there. We'll start feeding them through in a staged approach. They're upgrading the plant right now. They're nearly done with those upgrades. I'd say we'll start digging samples here in a few weeks, maybe a couple weeks, and then start processing them towards the end of June or early July. And that'll give us a good indication, like we should be able to tell the market, yep, there's gold in these samples, you know, on a routine basis. And, you know, just the initial area that we're targeting, I would say, you know, 2 or 3 months, we should have most of the samples processed through there. And then, you know, if we get access to the ground around it, you know, we can expand the exploration significantly. You know, touch wood, if we find there is a degree of consistency, then we can probably expand our spacing on samples mm-hmm. and start to be more aggressive with this thing. What I would like by the end of this year is to have not only a picture of what's, you know, how we define a resource on these gravels at edge of the mining lease itself, but I want to show the world that the deposit, like I said earlier, continues out onto the greater terrace and that there's potential for something much, much more vast here.
Well, as I understand it, Quentin, Egina is really a weathered portion of the conglomerate to the west. So it extends over to Comet Well and Purdy's Reward. Do I have that right?
That's absolutely correct. We actually find pieces of weathered conglomerate in the trenches, in this gravel material. In fact, we found nuggets inside some of those chunks of conglomerate. Mm-hmm. So we know a lot of the gold is coming from the conglomerate itself as it weathered away. The gold was liberated and mixed into these gravels. But interestingly, we've been doing a lot of metal detecting in preparation for our upcoming work, and we've found quite a few, not dominantly, but you know, a significant number of what we call Hackley or angular gold nuggets that are derived from veins in the basement. So we actually see the basement is also kicking off or producing some level of coarse gold. You know, these would be veins that are hosted immediately in the footwall of the gravel horizon.
So it would have been a different origin than the precipitation event that you've been talking about in the conglomerates?
Yes or no. The formation that hosts those veins is called a Malina group, and it was actually deposited at 2.9 billion years. Interestingly, there are conglomerates in the Malina group. Now, we don't have enough information. I can talk too broadly about it, but
yeah,
we do think there is some interesting potential in that formation. So hold tight on that. I think, you know, personally, my gut says a lot of the gold that we see in those little veins or that's coming out of the veins was actually initially a precipitation event because it fits right in the right time horizon, but it was remobilized into the veins, and now what we're seeing as a product, you know, derived from that. But we have some, we'll call it, you know, quasi-academic work that we're doing right now that should give us some answers by the end of this year.
All right. Well, just we're really running out of time here, so I have to ask you, with three projects going on, you've got to be burning through quite a bit of cash, Quentin, and I know that you just recently announced some $20 million or so that you pulled in from warrants being exercised, but how is your treasury right now given all of this activity? It's speeding up a lot in the cooler months of Australia.
Sure. Yeah, this is the busy season right now. So the $20 million actually came in over the past couple of years. Okay, a lot of those warrants were exercised, you know, back in even late 2017.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, So we have about 51 million or thereabouts right now. We will be spending on the order of $1.5 to $2 million a month for the next 6 or 7 months, basically till the end of the year. We're in a good position, but we do recognize we want to get to the finish line. So, you know, this is a concern we have that we want to make sure we use our money prudently. I'd also advise people to remember we have an MOU with Sumitomo Corporation to look at various ways of financing things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Beaton's Creek is, like I said, ready for the dance. Edgina could be advanced in theory very quickly if things work out right. You know, Comet Well and Purdy's Reward might take a bit of time, you know, like we did at Beaton's Creek, but they also will come to fruition. You know, it's basically all the horses are on the track. It's a matter of seeing which one hits the finish line first and starts generating cash flow for us.
All right. Well, your share price is around $2 a Canadian right now. It's down like most of them are. Most of the gold shares that I'm following are down right now. Nobody seems to be terribly interested in gold shares. With all this activity going on, it seems like investors are going to have a lot to look forward to this over the next several months. And a lot of drivers here, Quentin.
There are, and we're very excited. I'm heading down again. I just got back from Australia a few days ago. I'm heading straight back down in a couple of days. So we're excited. We're doing lots of work.
Thank you very much, Quentin, for being with us again. It's really an exciting story. I'm really, really pleased that you spent your time with us to help our listeners understand what's going on down there.
Certainly, Jay. Anytime.